City Arts Community Conversations podcast explores the diversity of Nottingham's creative community. Series 2 shines a light on the lives and work of deaf, disabled and neurodivergent artists in Nottingham. Part of City Arts Residence Project, it's hosted by Laura Guthrie and Jay Sandu. The production is supported using public funding by the National Lottery through Arts Council England. Thank you for listening.
So, Benny, you have been described as incredibly funny and a reliable upcoming talent by other people. Tis, how would you describe your comedy? Tell us a bit about the work that you do.
My comedy is redneck life and just basically making people laugh. But making me think, actually, he's got a point. And I'm very cheeky as well.
Very cheeky.
Very cheeky on stage. If I can get away with it, I will do it.
When you say you describe it as redneck, would you sort of describe what that means a bit redneck. More? What does redneck mean?
Since I've been up in Nottingham, I've had to defend for myself, learn how to do deals and that, and I watch a lot of YouTube, so I know how to go around the streets and get roadkill and eat it. It's free food, so I do that in my comedy.
You talk about eating, picking up, finding and eating roadkill.
Yeah.
Benny, what's your favourite roadkill recipe?
Oh, it's going to be better. 2 minutes each side, red onion, bit of garlic, on a bed of rice.
Oh, that seems salt to me. I'd have that, Benny. That sounds good.
We've got venison, not venison. What's them birds? My brain's gone.
Pigeons?
No, they're a bit bigger than a pigeon.
Seagull?
No, it's pheasant.
Yeah.
I've got a couple of them in the freezer because my friend goes game shooting and they throw all the pheasants away. And I'm like, they're coming to me.
I love them.
So some of your comedy talks about the roadkill.
Yes.
And some of your comedy talks about the lived experience as a disabled person and you said that it makes you want to make people laugh, but you want them to also kind of realise that you're making a point.
Yeah.
So what, kind of describe a bit more about the kinds of work that you're doing. You're working on a show as well, aren't you, at the moment?
Yes.
You want to explain that?
It was called Below the Bell, but now it is Blue Badge Bunny, and that is to go around the country showing children different games on what disabled people face with day to day. Like we've got, they have to draw me with their feet and to show children that without arms can still do day-to-day work like driving, artwork, and they drive with their feet. I mean, there's some amazing people out there driving. There's this one bloke on TikTok, and he's a mechanic, and he does all sorts with his feet. So we're going around teaching children, but having a laugh at the same time.
And is that going into schools, or is it in, you taking it into theatres for people to sit, for the public to see, or is it specifically in schools?
No, we're taking it into theatres, but I am taking it up to Newcastle. There's a special needs school up there, and they are going to come up with their own game so I can take it on the road.
That's cool.
So,
That's really
it's
cool.
not just me who write the show.
Do you feel that theatre and comedy is a really good medium then for kind of raising awareness around disability and the lived experience of disability? Do you feel there's something specific about comedy and theatre?
Yes, totally. Because the people who come and see us are there to listen and to understand. And then if we were in an open mic scene, sometimes they don't want to listen, and all they want to do is get drunk and shout abuse at us. So I do believe theatre and pro gigs are where our message will get taken.
Do you ever feel a sense of responsibility as a disabled person or on stage or creating shows that are around this theme and about raising awareness? Does it, how does it feel as a disabled person to be doing that in front of an audience of potentially predominantly non-disabled people? How does that kind of feel?
I feel totally responsible because if I make a mistake, I could like that, then people might take the wrong message away with them. That's why when we've got our council funding again to join 10 disabled artists together so we get the show exactly right.
So it's a mix of people's experiences, and I think you're right. It can feel quite vulnerable, can't you, as a disabled person, if you're the person who is, however you're doing it, whether it's through theatre, comedy, visual art, poetry, if it's your message or it's your words or it's your opinion and your reflection, it can feel, you feel vulnerable, you feel very kind of,
You can feel like there's a lot of weight on you as well, can't you?
So working collaboratively with other people, I imagine that can, that helps alleviate some of that, but also I guess it brings interesting things into the whole mix, because there are perceptions and ways of living and experiences that you wouldn't know about unless you'd collaborated with these other artists.
Exactly. I mean, I didn't just go, oh, I'm gonna do a show all about disability. The day I started comedy was the day I said to myself, this is my chance, one to be a good comedian and eventually to get my own show where I can show children. Because let's face it, it's all right teaching the adults, but if we start teaching the children about respect for disabled people, then when they become architects, employers, bus drivers, cab, they can look back and go, yeah, I respect you. I see the person, not the disability.
Yeah, and it's people's attitudes that are so important, aren't they? You know, how a child views another child who's a disabled child or a disabled adult is very much about how they're treated and how people approach them, how they talk to them, how they talk about them. You know, that's just such an important message, really, isn't it? It's so important to get that element of it across.
I was going to say, it's really interesting because obviously I've seen Benny's show and what he's teaching kids. I've obviously been a teacher myself. And it's really interesting because when kids see it from a perspective, either from a person that is disabled or from a stage, they seem to take more from it than it's just their teacher saying the same thing to them. So, like, and I've noticed that myself since being at some of your shows, Benny, and obviously being a teacher. And it is really interesting that you have an extra power almost by doing it from a stage opposed to just doing it in a classroom.
Yeah, and it's not easy.
No.
Brilliant. Okay, so Benny, you've been talking about the shows that you've done with children, so a stand-up comedian, and you do comedy for adults as well. What kind of responses do you get to your work? What kind of responses from audiences, both children and adults?
I always get, oh, you're so great. You're inspired. And I'm like, excuse me, I don't like that word. I need to do a joke about it, but I can't find one yet. Then I just go, I'm just doing my job. I mean, adult, I go, you're not inspiring when you wash your hands, are you? Because that's how it makes me feel patronized. But normally I am getting some good positive feedback. I mean, we went to Edinburgh, when was it? August, and that was amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, we did, the numbers weren't great, but in my book, we had a small room. If we had 19 people in, to me, that's a full house.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, the last day of the show, where, again, we only had a handful in, but they were all several boys. And it was amazing. They were cheating, but it was amazing. We had fun. And even now, mum and dad were like, oh, I'm glad my son's come and seen what you can do. Maybe eventually he will achieve these goals. And to me, I've won just hearing that.
Do you know what, Benny? That's so inspiring.
But it depends on how you say it and what you mean by it, doesn't it? Because what you're talking about there, Benny, is you are in a room and a space where you're talking to people who really get where you're coming from, and they can really see the irony and the humour in that.
And I get the mum and dad, I can take it off them because but when it's able-bodied people,
Has any young people ever mentioned this to you, or you even thought about this? Like, a disabled person, maybe potentially not even someone with that doesn't have cerebral palsy, but especially someone with cerebral palsy, might look at you on stage and literally go, cool, he's doing that. That's what I want to do. Have you ever thought about that, or have you ever had anyone like mention that to you, or
no, or anything? Not yet, but hopefully one day.
I can see it happening.
But also, we came away with 2 5-star reviews.
Oh,
one
nice.
4-star review, and we came, I think we were shortlisted for the New Diversity Award in Edinburgh.
That's quality.
And we are the second best show in the East Midlands for what's it called, the East Midlands Award.
Oh, you're putting me on the spot there. I know which one is. I know which ones you're talking about. Yeah.
Comedy
awards.
To me, I haven't won. We haven't won the war, but small victory will win.
Can I ask you, Benny? So you talked earlier on about how you collaborated with other disabled artists to create the Blue Badge Bunch show, and you know what you were talking about earlier on about performing in front of an audience of disabled young people. How do you find those other disabled comedians? How are you networked, or how do you find other people to work with?
Again, over lockdown, while the normies were hiding in their cupboards, me and my mate Mark Nicholas did a Zoom chat, and like, we can't just shut ourselves away. We need to support other disabled people. Now, Mark, before lockdown, did a disability open mic called La Fable, and he said, we both said, why don't we set up a Zoom meeting every fortnight for disabled comedians to support them, have a laugh. And I created a Benny Shake Things Up podcast where I interviewed likes of Lost Voice Guy, Joe Coffey, Aaron Simmons, Kate Lovelock, you can put me on the spot now, and many more. One Jay, we interviewed Jay as well.
Yeah, I'm on an episode.
It's amazing. And that is how I created Blue Badge Bunch, because them guys came along with the journey with me.
I had another question, which was about sort of on the same lines, because obviously creating a community of disabled comedians has meant a lot to you, and it's done a lot for you and your work. And like you say, you do that very selflessly, and so do all the other artists that work with you. What advice would you give to other deaf or disabled artists who perhaps aren't in comedy, but might be in some form of performing arts? Or what advice would you give about finding a network, where to look for it, what sort of approach to make to other people?
Facebook. I know people don't like Facebook much, but I find a lot of community start on Facebook. Reddit is another place to go. I've been on there quite a bit lately. Internet and word of mouth. If you're an artist, a photographer, and your mate's a photographer, and you're both disabled, one of you might know other disabled people. Then start up a group in your area, and people will find you and come and give their experiences. And don't give up. I mean, I've been working a lot lately on the game show and comedy, and this is the first week I've had chance to do some photography, and I've loved every minute of it.
That's cool. It's great when you love what you do.
I was going to say, it's nice to find those pockets, isn't it, to kind of take time that you want to enjoy your time as well as working on something productive.
We can, I mean, in this industry, in the arts, it is very ebb and flowy, isn't it? You can have periods where it's very, very quiet and you wonder when you're ever going to work again. And then other times where it's just inundated. Really busy and you're full on and your focus is so much on a project that you're working on. And you forget that there were times where you had very little to do, or you were trying to find work or whatever that might be. It just is the nature of the business, and if you can keep yourself going through those times, both the busy and less busy, and the key thing being you enjoy what you do and you get a lot from what you do, I think it makes such a difference as well.
Yeah, really does. I think that was about it, wasn't it? Should we wrap that up?
Yeah, they were all the questions.
Sorry, I was gonna say, did you have anything you wanted to ask us, Benny?
No, I mean, I'm going to get your name wrong again. Laura.
Yeah.
Sorry, Laura.
It's all right.
How do you find your art? I mean, I bet you've had the fight to have your place where you are.
Yeah. Sometimes I find it, my worst enemy is myself. So I find it very difficult to say no to things. So I can quite often find myself doing too much. And I don't think that's great. I think I should be a bit more careful. But at the same time, I'm also really conscious of how lucky I am to be in that position, because for a long time I wasn't in that position and I was scrabbling about for work and taking on jobs that weren't really what I wanted to do creatively. It was work and it was paying the I think now, I mean, I'm 30 plus years into my career, so I think I'm at a stage where I'm really, really lucky, and I am sort of more able to choose what I want to work on, but I tend to say yes to everything, because I'm always worried that the next month I won't have anything. So, but I, I'm kind of, it's taken me a long time, if I'm honest, Benny, to find what I really enjoy doing. And I've done a lot of work where I've worked with non-disabled people and created work alongside non-disabled people without a particular focus on access or disability. And whilst I've really enjoyed that, where I really get a buzz and where I really enjoy my work is when I'm working with other disabled people, creating work which is not necessarily always about raising, specifically about raising awareness about disabled people's lives or issues, but which is at least creating a true representation of the world, you know, where deaf and disabled people's work is seen alongside all other work and given the same kind of kudos, really. And then on top of that, making sure that the work I do, or as far as possible, is as accessible to as many people as I can make it, and that that is part of the creative process. So that's where I now know I get my real creative buzz and where I feel most at home. But it's taken quite a long time to get to the point where I understand that about the work that I do and the theatre that I produce. Yeah.
It's not a race, is it? It's
No.
not racist, it's sprint or what's that
I don't know what
saying?
the saying is, but I know you mean it's not a race.
Don't run before you can walk, right?
Yeah. I think
Because
it's
this
important.
year I wanted to come off benefits. I've looked at the figures and I might as well just employ the right people to build the foundation for the future. So, yeah.
Yeah, I like that, Benny.
Well, we are employing a female. Let me, we're looking for a female artist who's got a physical disability to join me to do her own show in another part of the country. It's so we're not burning too much diesel. But I've noticed since I've been doing this, there's not enough physical disability who are female out in the industry. I could be wrong, but in comedy, I can only count a handful. So we are going to be looking for the next co-host.
Well, good luck.
Thank you.
Good luck.
I hope you find them. Thank you, Benny.
Thank you very much, Benny, for coming onto the podcast. And yeah, we look forward to speaking to you again.
Yeah, look forward to
And good luck with your show.
it. Yeah, thank you.